A spiritual practitioner is someone whose mind is single-pointedly focused on overcoming the sufferings of their countless future lives. That's a spiritual practitioner. Yeah, so we want to become a spiritual practitioner. We need to accept, somehow, the law of cause and effect, and that all of the problems we're experiencing, every single one of them, there's not little exception here, every single one of our problems is coming from potentialities of actions that we performed in our former lives. We weren't this gross person that we are today. We were another gross person of a former life. We have a mental continuum that goes on from life to life. And every time we die and take rebirth, then our subtle consciousness brings with it all the potentials from our previous lives. That's all we can bring with us, you know, is our potentials from all the actions that we've created. Can't bring your wealth, can't bring your reputation, can't bring your education. All you bring with you is the potentials of your previous actions, your karma. That's all you bring with you. Yeah. So you can see, if we deeply 100% accept this, things are going to change for us dramatically, aren't they? Because we're going to come to some life-changing decisions very quickly, because time's running out. We may die today, don't forget. Yeah? And if we die today having not purified all of our negative potentials, then what's going to happen to us? We don't know. We don't know what the next life is. We think our next life is a long way in the future, even those of you who are almost dead. That's a horrible British joke, by the way. But we're always thinking, my future life is, you know, it's a long way off, it's in the future. It's a long way off in the future. But in reality, it's right in front of us. It's right in front of us, our future life. We can't see it, but it's there, just there. It's waiting for us. And unless we purify our negative potentials before we get to that point, we've got no guarantee, we've got no guarantee that we shall not take rebirth in a lower realm as a hell being, as an animal, as a hungry ghost. And when we go to those realms, it's incredibly difficult to escape from them. Incredibly difficult to escape from the lower realms. So I said last night, we don't think much about the lower realms, probably because we find it inconvenient. You know, we don't want to think about that, you know. And other people don't think about it, so why should we think about it? It indicates in reality we don't actually believe in them. We're not really bothered. You know, it's a big problem for us. We check. It's like, how much do I really believe that my negative actions can take me to the lower realm? How much do I believe? Geshe-la said, if you believed in the law of karma, then you'll be really afraid of lower rebirth. He said you'd be really afraid. You'd be really, really worried about where the imprints of your previous negative actions are taking you. And in this life, you may be a good person. You may always have been a good person in this life. Maybe even as a child, you were never bad. You never kind of interested in killing things or harming people. And you've been like that all your life, a gentle person. But that has not been the case in your countless previous lives. Has not been the case. In all those previous lives, we engaged in so many. In fact, you can say almost everything, almost every possible negative action we engaged in many, many times. So anyway, you know, the thing about karma is it's an extremely hidden object. You know, in Buddhist philosophy, we say we have three types of object. Foundation program people all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you've got manifest objects, which are the things that are obvious. We can see them, we can hear them, taste them, touch them. We've got hidden objects, like emptiness. Ultimate truth of reality is a hidden object, meaning that we have to use correct logical reasoning for it to appear to our mind. Yeah? Like, for example, the things I normally see do not exist because when I search for them with wisdom, they disappear. That's a perfect logical reason, showing the truth of emptiness. We can find emptiness through logical reasoning. But karma, the law of karma, is a deeply hidden object. It's not it's not sort of open to logical reasoning. Yeah? So there's two things that can help us with our belief in karma. One is having deep faith in Buddha. Yeah? We have deep faith in Buddha, then we think, I've got no reason to disbelieve him. If he's telling me this, it must be true. But in itself, that's kind of shaky, isn't it? Foundation program people, it's just a correct belief. We need something more than that. We need an incontrovertible realization, a realization understanding that's not going to change. So we look, we observe our lives and the lives of others. This is a fantastic way to prove to yourself about karma. For example, do you find it difficult ever to fulfill the wishes that you have, whatever wishes you may have? Do you ever find it difficult to fulfill those wishes? Of course. There's all kinds of obstructions to fulfilling our wishes. So why is that happening to us? According to karma, the obvious reason is that in the past, we interfered with the other people fulfilling their wishes. We stopped them from getting what they wanted. Yeah. So now it's coming back on us, isn't it? We stop other people fulfilling their wishes. Maybe we're angry with them, so we say, right, I'm going to stop you from getting what you want. We do something, we say something, and we prevent them from getting what they want. So now we experience difficulties in getting what we want and fulfilling our wishes. Of course, sometimes, as like you parents, some parents will know, it's a good idea to stop certain people from fulfilling their wishes. If you've got children who want to drink bleach, then it's a good idea to prevent them from fulfilling that wish, isn't it? And you're doing that with a pure motivation, a good motivation. So it's not necessarily bad karma to stop people fulfilling their wishes, but it is bad karma, bad action, negative action, if somebody has a harmless wish or even a beneficial wish. Like, for example, somebody wants to come to puja at the temple, and you think, oh, for goodness sake, how boring, let's go to the movies. And you persuade them to go to the movies. That is a negative action. Well, we only went to see 4 weddings and a funeral. That's the last movie I heard of, by the way. It's about 20 years ago. But yeah, we didn't do anything wrong. We behaved ourselves. But in reality, you take someone away from their spiritual practice, isn't it? Well, that's a negative action. So we don't think, you know. We find it difficult to fulfill our spiritual wishes. Many, many causes for that. So we can see this in this kind of thing in our lives. For example, take 2 brothers. I've got 2 brothers. Anybody else got 2 brothers or 2 sisters? Maybe one of them finds it very easy to fulfill their wishes. They can do what they want. They can get what they want quickly. The other one, it doesn't matter how hard they try. Both these children were born to the same parents, they went to the same kind of school, they grew up in the same environment, the same intelligence, more or less, you know, both hardworking or whatever, conscientious, and yet one of them found it extremely difficult. Their life is filled with problems. The other one, very simple, very easy. Why? Answer: the person who finds it difficult is having all of their karma ripen on them of stopping others from fulfilling their wishes. Whereas the other brother, who's finding it's easy to fulfill his wishes, his karma has not yet ripened. It's waiting for him. It's waiting for him. In the future, they'll change places, won't they? You know, what did Bob Dylan say? Those who are first will next be last, or those who are last will next. I can't remember those words. Anyone remember that from 1962. So karmically speaking, we all change places, you know.